The epistle for Holy Thursday is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 11. Brethren, when you come together, therefore, into one place, it is not now to eat the Lord's supper. For everyone taketh before his own supper to eat, and one indeed is hungry, and another is drunk. What have you not houses to eat and drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and put them to shame that have not? What shall I say to you? Do I praise you? And this I praise you not, for I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and giving thanks, broke, and said, Take ye and eat. This is my body which shall be delivered for you. This do for the commemoration of me. In like manner also the chalice, after he had supped, saying, This chalice is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you shall drink for the commemoration of me. For as often as you shall eat this bread and drink the chalice, you shall show the death of the Lord until he come. Therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread or drink the chalice of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the chalice. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the body of the Lord. Therefore are there many infirm and weak among you, and many sleep. But if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But whilst we are judged, we are chastised by the Lord, that we be not condemned with this world. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 13. Before the festival day of the Pasch, Jesus, knowing that his hour was come that he should pass out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And when supper was done, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he came from God and goeth to God, he riseth from supper and layeth aside his garments, and having taken a towel, he girdeth himself, and after that he putteth water into a basin, and began to wash the feet of the disciples, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. He cometh therefore to Simon Peter, and Peter saith to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith to him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou shalt have no part with me. Simon Peter saith to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not but to wash his feet, but is clean wholly. And you are clean, but not all, for he knew who he was that would betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. Then after he had washed their feet and taken his garments, being sat down again, he said to them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If then I, being your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that as I have done to you, so you do also. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Before the festival day of the Pasch, Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, that he should pass out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Words taken from today's Gospel, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, I would like to begin by telling you a true story about a pope and a priest. The Pope was Pius XII, and the priest was Father Frederick Nelson. Some of you may have heard of Father Nelson. He was a priest from Powers Lake, North Dakota, who offered the Latin Mass. And until his sudden death in 1988, he was responsible for the shrine of Our Lady of the Prairies. The shrine consisted of a church, a school, a retirement home, a convent of sisters, and the publication of the Mary Faithful magazine. But as a young priest during the pontificate of Pope Pius XII, Father Nelson was on a pilgrimage to Rome. In the company of various priests from around the United States, the pilgrimage concluded with an audience with Pius XII. During the audience, Pius XII greeted each priest individually, even asking them from which parish and diocese they came. When he came to Father Nelson, he greeted him warmly as he did the others, and asked him, "And from what parish do you come?" Father Nelson, having heard many of the other priests answer that they were from very great archdioceses and dioceses throughout the country, he answered Pius XII in so many words, "I am from among the least of your holiness's parishes, Our Lady of the Prairies in North Dakota." Pius XII looked affectionately upon him and asked him, "Do you have an image of Our Lady of the Prairies in your church?" Father Nelson replied, "Yes, Your Holiness." The Pope then removed his white zecchetto. A zecchetto is the small cap worn by bishops, cardinals, and the Pope. He removed it and he handed it to Father Nelson. And then he said to him, as he put it into his hands, "Put this before the image of Our Lady of the Prairies and tell her that the Vicar of Christ is a true son of Mary." Father Nelson received the white zecchetto with profound joy and gratitude. The white zecchetto, my dear friends, which Pius XII gave to Father Nelson, was a memorial of himself. And Father Nelson treasured it as such. How often we treasure certain material things given to us by those whom we respect and reverence. But how much more, my dear friends, do we treasure such material things when they are given to us upon the death of those whom we love very much, and who desire that we have such things as tokens of their love and as reminders so that we never forget them. How many sons and daughters hold dear certain material things that belong to their parents, by which they are reminded of their parents and the love their parents had for them? How many husbands and wives preserve some material thing that reminds them of their deceased spouse, whom they loved and who loved them? On that first Holy Thursday night, our Lord Jesus Christ, whom St. John tells us in today's Gospel, knowing that his hour was come, that he should pass out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Knowing, therefore, that he was to die the following day, and wishing to leave something to the apostles, but not only to the apostles, but to all who believed in him, loved him, and followed him, and to all who would believe in him, to all who would love him, and to all who would follow him, even unto the end of the world. Christ, too, wished to leave a parting gift, a memorial of himself. But unlike men, his parting gift would not be some mere material thing. No, the memorial left to us by our divine Savior on the night before he died was himself in the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. And thus he left us himself. You see, my dear friends, he loves us so much, and so much does he want to be loved and remembered by us, that nothing less than himself would suffice. He would be the parting gift that he would give to us. He would be the memorial that he would leave behind so that we would never forget him, nor forget to what lengths he went to in his passion and death to redeem us. For at the consecration of every Mass, he is truly, really, and substantially made present under the appearances of bread and wine, even as his sacrifice on the cross is truly and really made present, but in an unbloody manner. And even that, my dear friends, as sublime and awesome as it is, was not enough for him. It was not enough for his love for us. He would go even further. He would go even further than this and permit us, provided we are properly disposed, to receive him into our hearts and to have him in our own souls by means of Holy Communion. The Blessed Sacrament, my dear friends, has been reserved now for centuries in tabernacles throughout the world. Whether in the glorious and most splendid basilicas of Europe, or the poorest of huts in the most remote parts of the world, wherever the Blessed Sacrament was kept, Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Mary, was there. He is the living memorial left behind to all his little children. How then we ought to hold dear to our hearts this gift of the Holy Eucharist. How we should cherish this memorial of himself. How we ought to love him with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. That he should think of us so highly as to leave himself to us. For each and every individual soul can say, he gave himself to me. But especially, my dear friends, when we consider the circumstances under which he gave himself to us on that first Holy Thursday night. For though our divine Savior knew that Peter would deny him, though he knew that Judas would betray him, the other apostles would all, as he had foretold, be scandalized in him and would thus abandon him that night. Still, he would not forsake them. And though he knew as well, my dear friends, that down through the centuries, many would despise him. Many would reject him. And among those who profess to believe in him and to love him, so many of them, including bishops, priests, and consecrated religious, would nonetheless often be unmindful of him and even treat him with coldness and indifference. And yet, despite the betrayal of Judas, the denial of Peter, the abandonment of the apostles, and despite the rejection of so many men, the coldness, indifference, and forgetfulness of men towards him, their forgetfulness of his love for them, their forgetfulness of his passion and death on the cross, and their indifference towards his real presence in the Holy Eucharist, he would still leave himself to them. And why? Because, as St. John writes, Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, that he should pass out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. My dear people, the Eucharistic Christ is here in our chapel. The blessed memorial of our Lord's passion and death, this divine token of his love for us, given to us on the eve of his passion, is here in our chapel. We know this. We have no doubt. But we must ask ourselves, do we treasure his presence among us? Do we treasure him more than the material things of this world? Do we truly appreciate this gift of himself? Have we shown him our love and gratitude by striving to give him our undivided attention during Mass and while we are in his presence in the chapel? Have we shown our appreciation by striving to make a fervent and devout thanksgiving after Mass and Holy Communion? If we have been cold and indifferent towards him, if we have been forgetful of him, let us now love him with our whole heart and soul, and ever strive to be mindful of his Eucharistic presence, even as we return thanks to him for this infinite gift of himself. And finally, my dear friends, in the Mass and ceremonies of Holy Thursday, the Church would have us relive, as it were, the wondrous events which took place on that first Holy Thursday night in the upper room. In the procession to the altar of repose which follows the Mass this morning, we will reenact the procession of Christ and the apostles from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane. And at the altar of repose, we will keep watch with our Savior, as if we were in the Garden of Gethsemane with him. And thus does he say to us this day what he once said to his apostles, "My soul is sorrowful even unto death. Stay you here and watch with me." May we then, who are so blessed to know him, so blessed to love him, and to have him here, may we keep watch with him this day and night and seek to console his abandoned heart, which heart so longs to be loved by men. May we never forget, my dear people, that it was his supreme joy to give himself to us in the Holy Eucharist. May we count it our supreme privilege to have him and to love him. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.